There is one thing, one very specific thing that if you only did this thing, everything else would change. Everything in your life. That's it. One thing right now. I'm not talking about 10 things. I'm not talking about a list. I feel like this is a new merch thing, right? I went from all the things. This is the progression of the show. Listen, bitch, my day ones, right? I used to say all the things. I might still say that. All the things. But right now, and in this series, in this rebellion series, it's always one thing. And right now, there is one thing that if you gave it your full undivided attention for the next 90 days, this thing would produce more movement than everything else you've been doing for the past year combined. One thing. And here's the deal. You know what it is. The one thing. That's the best way I can name it, but you know exactly what it is. And you have known what it is for a while. And you're doing everything except that one thing. And the truth is, it's not because you're lazy. It's not because you don't care. It's because the everything else that you do feels productive. Like responding to messages and researching the thing and the updating the strategy and the system and consuming the content about how to do the thing and then reorganizing the workspace right before you begin. All of that bullshit has the texture of working. It's called busy work. So there's the texture of working, and it produces that legitimate feeling of being busy. That's it really does. And it makes you feel like you're in motion. It makes you feel like someone who is on top of things. But you guys understand that is not the thing. None of the things that you're doing are the actual thing. And if you're like, man, I really don't know what you're talking about. The thing, whatever your thing is, it's uncomfortable. It's the thing that requires sitting with what if this doesn't work kind of discomfort of actually doing the work that produces the real result. The thing does not have the immediate gratification of inbox zeroed out or a very cleaned up vision board, idea board, or even organized content calendar that honestly, your very organized content calendar, has it ever generated really a single piece of content? The thing for me is the episode recorded. The thing is the offer made. The thing is the actual output that reaches an actual person and actually does something in the real actual world. But you keep doing everything but that. And today that's going to change. You guys, welcome back to Listen Bitch Podcast. I genuinely missed you guys last week. Thank you so much for your patience again. You know, I was recording like these late nights. It wasn't a sustainable schedule. I'm still in a really busy week this week, but I just couldn't leave it on my conscience to not say hi, to not check in, and do what I can to get back into the rhythm. I have one more crazy week. And then it's all fine. But I definitely like I hit a wall. And family comes first. This was the thing. This was the thing that had to be set to the side. And I'm here now. In case you're new here, if you're not one of my day ones, I am Brandon Lynette. I am the voice authority. Your mess is your message. And today I just want to talk about the one thing that separates the people who build things from the people who are just perpetually in the process of building. The people who have the podcast and the people who have a very detailed plan for a podcast, two very different people, right? The people whose message is out in the world and the people whose message is very well organized in their head. Which one are you? Are you the person that talks about the ideas of a podcast? Are you the person that has a great message organized in your head, but you've kept it to yourself? Focus. Okay, not the motivational bullshit kind of focus, but actual focus. This actual one thing at a time. Everything else can wait. This is what I'm doing today. That kind of focus is what I need right now. The kind that produces the result instead of the feeling of working towards the result. And I'm pissed. I'm pissed today. Like, in a good way, it's that I see you and I refuse to let you keep wasting this shit kind of way. You're wasting this potential. You're wasting the legacy. I talk to people every single week who have everything they need and are spreading it across 40 different directions and wondering why nothing is moving. And the answer is always the same. It's never going to be more effort. It's going to be more focus. And before I dive in, I mean, obviously, I'm going to talk to you about Super Patch. Do I even have a focus right here next to me? We have a lot, baby. We have a lot of stuff here. Hell yeah, we have a focus. I'm actually wearing, no, I'm wearing Zen today. I'm not. Focus, obviously, okay? Because this is enhanced focus, attention, clarity, and memory. It is a very specific neurological support for the one thing kind of practice. This is what you need today. This is not scattered attention trying to manage 40 tabs, okay? This is locked in, present. This is the thing, and I'm in it kind of attention, okay? This is drug free ingredients. There is nothing in this. It is vibrotactile technology. It's telling your brain to stay in the lane. I always have a link in the show notes, and if you need to message me about it, please do. But put it on before your work session because you're gonna stay in the lane. That's, I do think, I'll be honest, I think Zen is my favorite. So if you're neuro spicy, if your brain is all over the place, focus is really great. But I think Zen outworks it when you really want to stay focused on the one thing. So I'm just gonna say that. Anyway, so back to the F word. Back to the F word. Focus. The one thing that changes everything and why you keep doing everything except the thing. Your brain does not want to focus. I need to say that before I go any further because if you think the inability to focus is a personal failing rather than a neurological pattern, you're going to keep trying to overcome it with willpower. You cannot do that. Willpower is not the solution. Understanding the mechanism is, okay? This part of our brain, the prefrontal cortex, okay, I'm going to nerd out on you for a second. That's the part of your brain that's responsible for sustained attention, for planning, and the ability to stay on task. It requires significant metabolic energy to run. What I'm saying is focus is expensive. The brain burns more glucose during periods of that sustained focus attention than during almost any other activity that you have going on in the day. And the brain, which is extraordinarily efficient in its resource management, has a built-in bias towards lower effort activities whenever it can get away from them. It is biased. So this means when the focused work is available and the lower effort alternative is also available, the message to respond to, the article to read, the minor task to complete, the social media check that will only take a second. The brain experiences a pull toward the lower effort option. And it's not because the lower effort option is more important. It's because it's cheaper to run. The brain is literally trying to conserve energy by steering you toward the less demanding activity. You're not lazy. That's not laziness. This is the ancient efficiency algorithm of an organ that evolved to preserve resources for survival. The brain was not designed for the sustained creative and intellectual work that building a podcast or a business or your calling requires. It's designed for short bursts of high intensity activity with significant recovery periods. And the brain is responding to the modern knowledge work environment by looking for every possible shortcut. It's going to do that. And this is where it gets complicated. The digital environment has specifically, deliberately, at enormous technological and financial investment, okay, it has been engineered to exploit this tendency. They studied your brain and they used you. Every notification, every unread message, every red badge on the app icon, Those are not accidental. They're stimuli specifically designed to interrupt focused work and redirect attention towards the platforms. The people who built the attention economy understood the brain's bias towards novelty and lower effort activity, and they built the entire system, the entire product around it. The average knowledge worker is interrupted every 11 minutes. And after an interruption, it takes an average of 23 minutes to return to the same level of focused engagement with the original task. That means in a typical work day, with just basic interruption patterns, you may not have a single period of genuinely sustained focused attention. You are constantly in the recovery phase from the last interruption. And recovery phase, that phase works like and feels like work, but it does not produce the same level of what your deep focus work will produce, not even close. And God blessed us with this incredible, incredible thing, neuroplasticity. The ability to sustain focused attention is a trainable skill. The neural pathway for deep focus, for staying in the thing long enough for the thing to actually get done, that can be built through deliberate practice. There's the P word you love. Every time you sit down to the one thing and you stay in it despite the pull toward the lower effort alternative, you're building a new pathway. Every time you close the tabs and you silence the notifications and commit the time to the actual thing, you're giving your basal ganglia a rep. And the rep becomes the habit. The habit becomes the difference between the person who builds things and the person who is almost always almost building things. Always. And this is the thing, it starts with a very simple thing. It starts with the decision to stop the multitasking that feels productive and start the single tasking that actually is. And there is a productivity trap, okay? A lot of high achieving, deeply motivated, genuinely capable people, they're living inside this trap because this is the trap keeping the most talented people the most stuck. And it is the hardest one to see from the inside because it really does look like success. You are optimizing for the feeling of productivity instead of the output of productivity. Those two things are not the same. They're not the same. The feeling of productivity is generated by activity, by the checked boxes, check, 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 by the full calendar, by the inbox that is managed and the tasks that are completed and the systems that are running and the content that is consumed about how to do the things better. The feeling of productivity is available in abundance from 100 different low stakes activities that your brain processes as progress because they all have that shape and feeling of progress without the substance of it. The output of productivity is generated by the one thing. For me, the thing. That's the episode recorded and published. That's the thing. For me, that's the offer. The offers made and responded to by the client served and the result produced. For me, that's that specific, measurable, actually happened in the real world output that the thing was supposed to produce. That output only comes from focused work on the actual shit. And most, I mean, I don't need to name drop, but I do get to work with a lot of high performers, okay? And the ones that I talk to, like they're generating enormous amounts of the feeling without proportional amounts of the output. Like they are incredibly busy, working incredibly hard. They've got systems, they've got frameworks and strategies and accountability structures and morning routines. Bitch, they have content calendars. But guess what? The thing isn't built because the apparatus around the work has become the work. Imagine you're going to cook a meal, and it's an important meal. This is a meal that really matters. And before you cook it, you're going to clean the kitchen. And then you're like, oh shit, now I'm going to organize the spice rack. Now you see you need to sharpen all your knives. And then you're going to research three different recipes. Now you have to make a shopping list optimized by aisle. Don't forget to go shopping. Then you're going to organize the ingredients. Then you're going to watch a video about the technique for the most challenging part. And then you never cook the meal. The kitchen has never been more organized. The people were supposed to eat, and they're still hungry. No amount of knife sharpening processes produces food. You're stuck in the processes. You're stuck in the getting ready. You're stuck in the things. This is where you are. Yeah, your kitchen's immaculate. I'm so impressed. I'm so impressed by your calendar. I'm so impressed by your system. The meal hasn't happened. The people who needed what you were supposed to make, they're still waiting. Bitch, you have to cook the meal. The kitchen can be messy. That's our fucking lives. It's messy. Do the thing anyway. Cook the meal. And we're in the rebellion season. You think I'm gonna do an episode without talking about the systems? Because guess what? Here's what the systems absolutely don't want you to have. And that's focus. Because a focused person is a dangerous person. And I say that like, that's hot. Like a dangerous person full of focus, that's hot. And it's not even in the threatening sense. It's a very system disruptive, I'm not available for your bullshit distraction kind of way. And the attention economy. Do we have to talk about the attention economy? Because where is it? Bitch, we don't have to talk about this. Every platform, every notification system, every infinite doom scroll, that's what we call it around here, the doom scroll. It's built on the premise that your attention's available, that it could be captured and redirected and even monetized. The product they are selling to advertisers, that's your attention. And your attention is only a sellable product if you're not using it fully for something else. A focused person is not a reliable product. Bitch, you're not making them money. They're not checking the feed. We don't care about your stuff. They're not responding to the notification. They're not available for the redirect. Y'all think, listen, Big Tech did not accidentally create the infinite scroll. They A/B tested their way to the most attention capturing design available and they deployed it at scale. Again, they studied your brain. They studied humans, human nature, psychology. They studied all of that. You think they accidentally made the notification system impossible to no ignore? Everything was intentional. They studied the neurological response to variable reward schedules. The same mechanism that runs slot machines. I'm not even joking. Do the research on that. Don't take my word for it. And they built it into every notification design. The unpredictability of when the interesting thing will appear is what makes the checking compulsive. Not the importance of what appears, the unpredictability of its arrival. How many times have you what do you call that? Rechecked your feed. What do you call it? Reset your feed. I don't know. How many times have you picked up your phone to check your feed to see if there's anything new? And what are you actually waiting for? And this political and the institutional structures that benefit from your scattered attention, the ones that they need you overwhelmed and unfocused and too busy managing all the bullshit noise to the side to build anything that challenges the structure. They love the attention economy. They feed you. A population that cannot focus, cannot organize. Is this podcast a rebellion? Yes. Do I wish the people would rebel? Yes. Can I start that? Not legally. But if I can get one person to focus and disconnect from the bullshit that they have you in, then I'm doing my job. If every episode I get one person to think twice about this, we're getting closer. We're getting closer to that rebellion, closer to taking our power back.
A population that can't focus, can't organize, they can't build alternatives, they can only react. Reactive people are manageable people. Do you guys see that? I want you to notice that. And I don't care if you swallow the blue pill or the red pill or the purple, I don't care about that in this moment. I want you just to think about social media. Everybody's reactive. And if you watch these reactive people, they are manageable. Follow the virtue signaling trail. Manageable people will never build a rebellion. They're going to virtue signal wherever you tell them to go. Focus, that's the rebellion. The very, specific daily, I know what my one thing is and I'm in it. That's the rebellion. What is your one thing and are you in it? That is the most threatening thing available to every system that profits from your scattered attention. Do it today and every day. You guys think I'm talking to you like from a place that doesn't understand? Because I still catch myself, right? This last week, actually, I'm like, man, I'm so busy. What's actually moving the needle in my life? What's moving the needle in my life? Am I busy or am I putting out work? Am I working on my legacy or am I busy? I catch myself. There's times I'm doing everything at a high level and I'm building nothing. Three podcasts, the interviews, the content strategy, the systems, the frameworks, my morning routine, genuinely excellent. Workplace, organized, content calendar, y'all. Genuinely comprehensive. That shit's loaded. Producing consistently at a high level across multiple directions simultaneously. Nothing was compounding. Nothing's building on itself in the way that real momentum builds. Everything's staying at the same level because I was distributing focus across too many things for any of them to get the sustained attention they needed to grow past a certain point. And it is that honest, come to Jesus conversation. Okay. And I asked myself the question, if I could only do one thing for the next 90 days, what's it going to be? And that means that I'm aligned in my ethics and my values and my goals, what's important to me. So, what's the thing that's going to get who I am now into the person I want to be in 90 days? What's the thing I have to do? Because if I do the same exact shit, for 90 days, I'm being the same exact spot in 90 days, right? We know that. We know that. What is the thing that would change everything downstream? And yeah, sometimes answers are uncomfortable. This one is for me. It's uncomfortable, but the answer is clear. It's my interview show. That's why. Last week, when I was gone, you guys probably see that show and you're like, this bitch is still putting out episodes. Yeah. I do 5 or 6 interviews a day, 4 days a week. I'm talking to 30, like 30 people a week. Okay. 24 at the most. I capped it off. Okay. 24 people. I didn't even want to do the interview show. I didn't even want to do it, y'all. And God said, you're going to do it. And I'm like, are you sure about me? I still say that. I said it when this answer came to me. I said it. That's the priority. The interview show. What makes you special? Listen, bitch. Those conversations. I've had over 100 conversations that are happening, and they've been building something incredible that nothing else I'm doing was building. The relationships, the credibility, the content, the community. Evidence just stacking and stacking, all accumulating in a direction that had real compound potential. And listen, you're listening to the Listen Bitch podcast right now. I didn't stop everything else entirely. These shows matter to me. I'm managing three podcasts in a season that requires everything from me. But I stopped treating everything equally. I gave the interview show the best hours, the deepest focus. That show gets the first energy of the day before the day does anything. There's morning routine, and then there's the interview show. That's it, back to back. And I show up for these people. I focus on what I eat and what I drink before I talk to them because I want to be in the best energy and the best representation. I want to be in the best clarity. You think food doesn't pay any mind to all that? It's everything. I take care of myself before I do these shows. I prioritize it, and the compound effect of the prioritization starts producing what the loosely distributed effort ever could. So what I guess I'm saying that because I'm still here with Listen, Bitch. I'm not leaving you guys. I needed the week to catch my breath, okay? I will do my best. This is going to be an incredibly busy week. I'll do my best to try to get every episode. I owe you three more. I will do my best. But if I'm not here for this week, you guys know where that's at. So I'm saying this because the one thing that you have to focus on, it doesn't require you to abandon everything. I had a mentor ask me once when I was drowning in life, name everything on your plate. And I write down everything on my plate in a nice little circle. And she said, take off the thing that you know you can take off. And I looked at my plate and I'm like, bitch, I can't take any of this off. I love all of it. Great. So, how do I stack this in a way that's sustainable for my life? That means something prioritizes something. You don't have to abandon everything. I'm just saying, stop treating everything as equal. Because not everything is equal. And you know, like, you know which thing is the one thing for you. You know it. The thing you want to do, the impact you can make, the step into the legacy that you care about, the potential of who you could be in 90 days, because you can be someone different. If you're not happy right now with who you are, where you are, you're a decision away from being someone completely different. You're one thing away from changing your entire life. And this thing, give it the first energy. Give it the best hours. Give it the focus it needs to compound and then watch what happens. I talked to this guy on my interview show, y'all, who described his 4 years of business building as spectacular mediocrity across 15 directions. His words. And I wrote that down immediately because I've never heard a more accurate description of the scatter focus problem. His words. He was good at 15 things, but not great at any of them because greatness requires depth, and depth requires that sustained attention, and sustained attention requires you to choose. And he avoided the choosing because some of the 15 things were things he's genuinely attached to, he invested in them. He's good at them, and letting them be the not the thing just genuinely felt like a loss. Then he got focused and he zeroed in. He locked eyes on the target, identified the one thing. One thing. I swear when I get merch, I'm gonna have a hoodie that says one thing. Y'all are gonna buy that, right? Identify the one thing, that specific service that produced the best results that he was most distinctively capable of. The one thing that had the most potential for the market he was serving. He stopped investing the first energy into the other 14. He put the focus on the one. Within 6 months, his revenue doubled. Not because he suddenly got better at the one thing, it's because the one thing was finally getting the attention it needed to become what it was capable of becoming. The talents, it was always there. The focus was just the missing ingredient. Spectacular mediocrity across 15 directions, or quiet excellence in one. You do not get both. I'm saying choose. And the thing that makes this easy for me is that when I did realize everything I've been doing and I haven't focused greatness into one thing, I gave it to God. And it was one of those things of like, I can't put everything into all of these. I'm not agreeing to let go. I don't feel that. I mean, God pulled Faith and Fire into my heart. That's a show. I mean, listen, bitch, come on, you guys. The show is just iconic. I'm not going anywhere ever. But the needle and the needle was moving and the impact I have, that's very tangible. That impact I have, the network, the influence, everything that's happening. My one thing is the interview show. And right here, you guys, if this episode, if what I'm saying to you right now is kind of naming the pattern for you, if you have caught yourself in that spectacular mediocrity across 15 directions, and if you know which one thing you've been avoiding to give the real focus to, share this episode with one person who's in the same place, the one who is incredibly busy and building nothing and can't figure out why. It takes a couple minutes, and make sure you subscribe to the show. Leave a written review. The review is the one thing I'm asking you to do right now. Just one thing. Just leave the review, okay? I appreciate you guys. I wouldn't have the show without y'all. And you're the reason I'm staying, right? As much therapy as I get here, as much as I teach myself, just talking you guys through the mess in my life and the things that I've realized, just to help you through the shit so you know you're not alone. Like, we're in the arena and we're getting our ass kicked. None of this is easy, but it's all worth it. It's all worth it. I'm keeping this show because I love you guys, and I'm here for you. I'm here for you. And I know that a lot of you get so much more from the show than you have the interview show. I get that. I'm not going to stop serving you here either. And it's not a comparison. I couldn't even begin to tell you how to move the needle, so this is like my top thing. I wouldn't even know how to do that. But I appreciate you listening and thank you for sharing. Y'all, Jesus had one mission. He had one. Not the reform of the entire Roman political structure. That wasn't his mission. It wasn't the overhaul of every religious institution simultaneously. It wasn't the resolution of every human suffering in every geography at once. He just had one mission. Do you guys know what that was? It was to make disciples, to go deep with 12 people, building the thing that would build the thing. You see? And he protected that focus with a very specific energy that frustrated the people around him. The crowds would press in and he would withdraw. The requests came from every direction and he chose which ones to answer. The urgent needs were constant and he slept on the boat. He was not available for everything, but he was always fully available for the one thing. And you guys, what do we know to be true? It's not because he didn't care about the other things. It's because he understood that the one thing done fully was the only way the other things eventually got addressed. The 12 disciples changed the world. It wasn't the crowd of people, it's the 12. The deep focused investment in the few became the mechanism for reaching the many. And he said it plainly. No one can serve two masters. That wasn't a moral instruction exclusively. It's a physics observation. You cannot give full attention to two things simultaneously. One will get the depth, and the other one gets what's left. And the remainder is not enough to build the thing that the calling requires. Your one thing is the 12. That specific focus, deep investment in the thing that builds the thing that changes the room. Not everything for everyone at a shallow level. The one thing done fully, done deeply, done with everything in you. So, what is your 12? Go deep there. The crowd gets the overflow of the depth. You have to build the depth first. And this is the only action that matters from this episode. Three steps in order. I said three. I'm throwing you guys off, aren't I? Three steps in order. Obviously, first, your first step right now, your tangible step is identify the one thing. It's not going to come to you by thinking abstractly. You have to ask the very specific question. If the next 90 days could only produce one result, And that result would change everything downstream. What is it? And you're not giving me this. You don't have to come up with some impressive sounding answer. Just be radically fucking honest. The thing that, if it actually worked, would move everything else. I want you to write it down. Just write it down. Say it out loud in the car or the room by yourself. Let it be real. Second, identify three things that are cr I'm really fucking with you guys now because we're back to three. You thought I was going to say one thing. No, or three things. Identify the three things that are currently getting the first energy that should be going to the one thing. Is it the checking the notifications? Is it the responding, the optimizing, the consuming, the lower effort alternatives that are capturing the best hours? Name that shit and be honest. You guys, this is the thing. Games on my phone. If I'm sitting in the softball field, cool, I could play them, right? Otherwise, treadmill. That's the rule. I don't check my phone in the morning. Bible first, do my damn workouts, get outside, get some fresh air, get some protein, then phone. It was hard. You have to call this bullshit out. I was doom scrolling. Name it. And I'm not saying you have to eliminate it, right? Organize it. Stop letting them have the first energy of your day. The one thing, that thing that's going to move everything downstream, that gets the first energy. Everything else gets what's left. Third thing, this week, give the one thing the first 90 minutes of every working day before anything else happens. Before the messages, before the feed, before the emails, before the research and the strategy, 90 minutes, one thing every day this week. At the end of the week, I want you to measure the output. Not your feelings, because fuck your feelings. I want the actual output. The things that exist that did not exist before, the episode recorded. Maybe you need to make an offer. I want you to gauge the real output. Better today than yesterday means more focus today than yesterday. Better tomorrow than today means you take what the 90 minutes produced and you build on that shit. Compound the focus and watch the compound interest arrive. Blessed beyond measure. The one thing is what you were actually put here to do. We wanted to come here for this human experience. You have a calling. It's very specific to you. Very specific to your mess, very specific to your story, your experience. It's in you. The 15 directions are what you do when you're afraid to fully commit to the one thing. And the 15 directions feel safer for you and your brain because they distribute the risk. If any one of them does not work, there are 14 others. The one thing has no backup. It's fully exposed, and it requires you to put everything in one direction and trust that the direction is right. And that trust is not comfortable before the result arrives. It's only comfortable in retrospect, when the compound interest of the focus investment has produced the thing that the scattered investment never could have. The trust comes from the result. The result only comes from the focus, and the focus only comes from the decision to stop doing fucking everything else and do the one thing. Babe, you know what your one thing is, and you've known it for a while. And I love you so much, but I want to shake you right now. You've been doing everything except the one fucking thing because everything except it feels safe. Safe is not the goal. Safe puts you in the ground, buried with your regrets. Built is the goal. The message delivered to the person who needs it, that's the goal. The real thing out in the real world, reaching the real people, that's the goal. None of that comes from the 14 other things, it comes from the one. I love to help people identify the one thing. I love to help people build it. Not the 15 directions, but the one thing. The podcast that is the vehicle for the message that was always the one thing. The platform built on the focus that scattered effort was preventing. That is the work. And the people I work with leave with the one thing moving. They don't get a list. They actually move the thing. So please check the show notes. I would love for you to come work with me. I double dog dare you also to just come and tell me why you're special. Tell me why your message should be heard. Better yet, I dare you to tell me why you don't think it should be. I will love that. Do the one thing today. Do the one thing today. Be better today than yesterday. Be better tomorrow than today. I love you guys. I don't know my week's schedule, okay? Already it's 9:30 at night. This was not my plan, and I have 4 more nights that are just jam-packed. My days, it's wild. But I love you guys. I showed up today because I missed the shit out of you and I wanted to serve you, and I hope the show meant something to you. And next week it looks like we'll be back on track, okay? That's it. I love you guys.